It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. It's deer hunting season. Are you a hunter? Well, if you are, you know that the shotgun deer season is well underway. This hour, we want to focus on hunting concerns in the state, including the problem of poaching, also the chronic wasting disease among deer, how well that's being controlled, an update on deer populations, other trends we're seeing in hunting and deer hunting. Joining us, first of all, and also for the entire hour, Jeff Swearingen is with us, supervisor for the Iowa Department of Natural Resources Law Enforcement Officers in South Central Iowa. He's in our Des Moines studio. Hello, Jeff.
Hello.
Also in our Des Moines studio, Willie Suki, back on our program, Wildlife Research Supervisor at the Iowa DNR. Hi, Willie.
Hi. Glad to be here.
We're glad to have you both on because we want to invite our listeners to ask any questions or share any concerns about hunting in Iowa, though it is deer hunting season. I suppose this extends to all types of hunting in the state. 1-866-780-9100. 1-866-780-9100. In the first part of the hour, we're going to be talking about poaching. Perhaps our listeners have ideas about how poaching can be reduced in the state. Also, welcoming non-hunters to our discussion this hour. Your questions about hunting. 1-866-780-9100. Our email, rivertoriver@iowapublicradio.org. Tweet us at IPR Talk or find Iowa Public Radio on Facebook. Jeff, let's start with you and talk about some hunting news, illegal hunting in the state in the news, an arrest of a hunting guide accused of helping out-of-state deer hunters kill Iowa white-tailed bucks without getting proper tags. And interesting here, isn't it, Jeff, that this is not an isolated case. This is really a larger scheme, right?
Well, unfortunately, it does go on. You know, we don't know to what scale, but we get those tips occasionally. We investigate them, and this was a large-scale case that took a long investigation, and unfortunately, there was some illegal activities going on.
Mm-hmm. What can you tell us about the case? This is alleged, and he's accused of doing this, but what is thought to have happened?
Well, I don't want to get too much into specifics of the case. We could talk generalities about kind of what's going on out there with some outfitters. They're having clients buy a doe tag that's a specific license for a specific county. That's a doe tag. And some of these hunters will come up into Iowa, and an outfitter may set them up and tell them, if you shoot a buck deer, give me a call, and we'll put a tag on that deer for you. Mm-hmm. And that type of thing is unfortunately going on.
Okay, so for non-hunters out there, that might be Greek to what you just said. So okay. Tell us a little bit how the system is supposed to work with this lottery system and deer tags.
Okay, if you're a non-resident hunter, you'll apply to Iowa in May. If you want to come to the state. The state is broken up into a number of zones, and you'll pick which zone that you want to hunt in. So you apply for your non-resident deer tag, and it takes, depending on which zone that you go to, 2 to 3 years to be awarded that deer tag. And once you're awarded that deer tag, then you can come up and you hunt that specific zone that tag will allow you to shoot either a buck or a doe.
One tag means one deer, a buck or a doe.
One tag means one deer.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not successful in that drawing, if you want to come to the state and hunt deer and there's over-the-counter doe tags available for a specific county, you can come to the state and buy that tag that will allow you to hunt, to be able to shoot a doe up here in the state of Iowa.
Mm-hmm. And the number of tags that the DNR puts out every year is based on what?
Well, the number of non-residents is capped at 6,000 a year. Okay. That we have come in. And then we have a number of doe tags available that go unsold that folks can buy over the counter. And that varies from county to county.
Mm-hmm. And Willie Suki, how do we arrive at the number of deer that can be harvested by hunters every year?
Well, what we do is address the extra harvest with the antlerless tags. And we've put those in counties where there's a good population. So we're trying to, at this point in time, stabilize a deer herd with the tags. And back in 2006, we had a lot more of them. And we were, really did a good job of lowering deer numbers. And so we look at the harvest, we look at our spotlight surveys, we look at bow hunter observation surveys, we look at the roadkill. We put that all together to try to come up with a feel for deer numbers in a particular county, and then we set a quota so that we'll achieve a deer harvest to go to wherever our goal is. And right now we're at a place where we feel is a good balance.
Okay. 1-866-780-9100. discussion about hunting, specifically deer hunting, as it is deer hunting season. A few more days of that. 1-866-780-9100. Greg is in Louisa County. Hi, Greg. Are you a hunter?
Yes.
Go ahead. You have a question or a concern?
Well, a little bit of both. I'm just curious why our trespass laws don't have a little more consequence to them. I think our officers end up wasting a lot of time on trespass because even if somebody's convicted, it's not, you know, much of a fine. In Kansas, I believe it's a $3,000 fine. Everybody knows where the fence lines are and make sure they're not on somebody else's property. And I think, you know, if we had those types of laws here, the officers could deal more with bigger issues.
Mm-hmm. Greg, just let me ask you, are you a landowner and
yes.
have you have trespassing issues by hunters?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And what do you usually do?
I call DNR.
Yeah, okay.
You know, if it's, you know, I mean, sometimes I, you know, deal with it personally, but a lot, you know, anymore, it's like you call the law, you know.
Okay.
But it's, you know, it's every year and it's reoccurring, so the law obviously doesn't have enough effect.
Okay. Greg, thanks for calling with your concern. Jeff and Willie, how can you answer the frustration there that Greg is having in Louisa County?
Well, unfortunately, trespass is an issue, and what these landowners need to do is go forward and prosecute these folks that are trespassing. There's a penalty, a monetary penalty that goes along with the trespassing. Along with that, if they are deer hunting while they're trespassing, it's an automatic 3-point violation. And what that means is, in Iowa, each wildlife violation is given a point value, and if you reach 5 points in a 3-year period, your license is suspended. So if you're convicted of trespassing while deer hunting, that's an automatic 3 points against your license. So if you, mm-hmm. you typically, if there's something else going on, you could lose your license at that point because you've achieved that 5 point.
So are normally trespassers also poachers?
Not necessarily. It's just sometimes they don't realize where the property lines are. A lot of times what happens is in Iowa is they've had permission to hunt in the past and a property will sell. They don't realize it's sold. They don't check with the new landowner and they just assume that it's still in the same landowner's hands. And sometimes it's an innocent issue, sometimes it's not.
Mm-hmm. You were talking about licenses. Now let's make sure that we understand the importance of licenses. How much do they cost and where does that revenue go? Because we want to know the importance of that. And it is very important in the DNR, isn't it?
Well, the DNR, we're driven by license sales. The majority of our funding comes through the sportsmen and women of Iowa that purchase a hunting license, fishing license, habitat stamp. And that's how the department is funded.
Mm-hmm. And how many licenses are out there?
For just a general hunting license this past year, so far we have sold between residents and non-residents about 175,000 licenses, hunting licenses. That doesn't count fishing licenses.
What do they cost?
A resident hunting license is $19, and then you have the habitat fee, another $13 to have that just for a resident hunting habitat that you'll need to hunt small game in Iowa.
Join our conversation. We're going to be talking with some hunters. We'd like to have you on if you're a hunter. Also, non-hunters, we don't want to exclude you. 1-866-780-9100. Hunting questions and concerns. Perhaps I can reach out to hunters and ask you, do you have a pet peeve you'd like to let your fellow hunters know about? 1-866-780-9100. River to river at iowapublicradio.org. We're also on Facebook, or you can tweet us at IPR Talk. Let me, before we go to callers and our hunters, Willie Suki, tell us about chronic wasting disease. We talk about the use of these monies, these licenses. Some of that money goes to managing this problem. What is it? How many deer have it in Iowa?
Well, chronic wasting disease is what it sounds like, a neurological disease that affects deer's brains and their behavior, and ultimately when they succumb to this, it's always fatal. So CWD became a concern in the Midwest in 2002 when it was discovered in Wisconsin, and since then we've been very heavily monitoring, doing surveillance efforts in northeast Iowa and then in other parts of the state as well. And we've sampled over 50,000 deer in the last 12 years. And we had our first positive in a wild animal in Elmaquy County this last hunting season. our staff up there and the hunters. We had meetings in spring, and I had real good conversations with landowners and groups up there, and continue to do the surveillance. We need to find out what was going on and if there's more animals that are positive on the landscape. We took the animal that was positive and had some testing done, and it looks like it's likely a deer that emigrated to Iowa from Wisconsin, which is where, you know, we would have thought it was. And it was, you know, within a mile and a half of the Mississippi River. So,
chronic wasting disease under control, it sounds like, though, well under control.
Well, we're just doing surveillance, and control is a difficult concept with chronic wasting disease because there's no real treatment for the animals. It's what do we do in our, you know, in Iowa and the landscape and how we work at it. And, you know, we're lucky that we weren't the first ones. We can learn from what other states have done, and we'll try to find things that keep the risk to a minimum.
Mm-hmm. 1-866-780-9100. Let's go to John in Ottumwa. Hello, John.
Hello.
Welcome to our program. Do you have a question? Are you a hunter?
No, I am not.
Mm-hmm. What's your question?
How many licenses get turned down? How many out-of-state people want to hunt here but get turned down on an annual basis?
Last year, it was roughly about 3,500 people applied and didn't get a license. And mostly it's for the bow hunting. Bow hunting is limited. There's 6,000 licenses total and 35%, so 2,100 are for bow hunters. And because Iowa is a little bit unique, we do not have a firearm season during the month of November. Iowa's a destination for bow hunters. If you're a shotgun hunter or a muzzleloader hunter and you want to come to Iowa as a non-resident, you got about 50% chance of drawing without any preference point. Whereas a bow hunter, like Jeff said, you'll need at least two or three in some areas.
Mm-hmm. John, did you have another follow-up there?
Yeah. So 6,000 licenses are awarded a year?
Correct.
For out-of-state.
And then out-of-state, then, and how much do each of those individuals spend in the state when they come here? Is it $1,000 or $2,000 on average?
Yeah, what's the economic impact there? Good question, John.
Well, the economic impact overall is around $300 million from deer hunting activity. Non-residents are similar to residents, and, you know, residents spend a lot of money when they, you know, do the deer hunting by buying licenses, but also by ammunition and clothing and stuff that's, you know, in the state of Iowa. Non-resident, some of them will pay for services. A lot of it are through contacts. Iowa is kind of hasn't had the tradition of having a lot of outfitters, so a lot of it is from people who are, they know somebody in Iowa and they find a way to come back. And traditionally, that's how the hunting was, and there's still strong tradition. It depends on the individuals. A couple $1,000 is not unusual for somebody to who's into the outfitting part of it.
John, thank you for your questions from Ottumwa, 1-866-780-9100. Willie Suki is with us of the DNR, and Jeff Swearingen as well, answering your questions about hunting, legal aspects, also any wildlife questions you have about hunting. 1-866-780-9100. Joining us now, Tim Powers, Whitetails Unlimited Area Field Director for Eastern Iowa. Been a hunter almost 40 years. Hello, Tim. Tim, are you there?
Yes.
Hi. Tell us, whitetails is the most sought-after deer in Iowa?
Well, by far, for what I know. Yes, very popular sport in the state.
Tell us a little bit about your hunting background.
I started when I was about 8, 9 years old. My brother took me out hunting along the Des Moines River in northwest Iowa. Mm-hmm. And from there, I stayed in the outdoors world. And little by little, I worked my way into Whitetails Unlimited, and I've been with them over 20 years.
Do you you hunt with a bow or a gun?
Preferably a bow when I have time. And limited time, I do shotgun hunt.
Mm-hmm. So this started many, many years ago. Can you tell us, for a non-hunter, what is the appeal of hunting? Because it's very addictive, isn't it?
By far. If a person has not done it and you go and sit yourself out in a blind, like I've taken my little 6, 7-year-old boy and sit him out there and he has a deer come walking down a trail by him, you can tell real quickly what it does to a person because he starts breathing hard and the whole 9 yards, he gets all excited.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And you remember your first hunt?
For sure.
Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about that.
That was bow hunting. Bow hunting when I was in 5th, 6th grade. And just sitting out in the tree stands in the mornings and the evenings, couple older guys would take me along with them, and I think I was their guinea pig. Something needed to be done or climb up and fix a tree stand, it was usually me climbing the tree. I think that's why I was there.
when you look at the regulations we have regulating deer hunting in the state, do you have any complaints? Would you like to see something change? Do you see some practices out there you'd like to see curtailed?
Oh, on the regulations part, I guess I really don't play a big part in that. I do pull some phone calls and some of our members out there complaining about trespassing as well. For example, I know they briefly talked about it at the beginning of the show, but if a person owns 40 acres in the middle of an area and he hunts about 10 acres of it and he leaves the other 30, 35 acres just kind of a sanctuary for the deer to stay in because they're getting pushed everywhere else. On the bad side of it, you got people that will say, hey, I shot a deer, and they'll stomp through the property anyways.
Mm-hmm.
I know there's several people out there that are not too happy about that, would like to see some type of a law change on it, but that's easily said, not easily done with legislation.
We talked about a case of poaching recently announced, an arrest made here in Iowa. What is your sense after some nearly 40 years of hunting in the state? Is poaching getting worse?
Well, I would say probably in the last, my personal opinion, the last 10 to 15 years, it's gotten worse. And the reason I say that is just the cases I hear in our own area and around the state throughout my members. But the problem with the whole poaching scenario is, too, is I don't think it has enough teeth. Our officers can catch these people and bust them, but then when it comes time to pursuing them and giving them a proper fine, a lot of them get off and don't get the proper fines that they do deserve. And part of the big finger point on that is what's going on in Des Moines. Our legislation, they don't look at our deer as a positive side. A lot of them look at it as a negative because of their whether they're depredations to crops, they're getting hit by vehicles, what have you. They don't really look at the positive impact, like Willie said. You know, you're talking, I heard you correct, Willie, $300 million a year coming into the state to support our state. That's a huge number.
Jeff Swearingen of the DNR, let me put it to you. If Tim says there aren't enough teeth in anti-poaching laws, would you welcome more teeth?
Well, right now, what we have is if somebody shoots a deer that's 150 inches, and what that means is that the deer's antler, if it measures 150 inches of antler, they can be fined up to $20,000 for that deer if they illegally kill that deer. So that's a pretty healthy fine for killing that deer.
What about the question of whether these are prosecuted, though? How many do get prosecuted?
We prosecute a good number of them. Unfortunately, some prosecutors don't view wildlife crime as that important of a crime, and maybe some judges don't either, but I guess that's nothing that we can control. We try to do what we can do on our end, and I guess we leave the rest of that up to the legislators and the prosecutors and judges, I guess.
Okay, 1-866-780-9100. Tim, stay with us, our hunter. Let's go to our Jim. Jim is on the line. Where are you calling from, Jim?
Fertile, Iowa.
Welcome. Haven't had a call from Fertile, Iowa for a while. What's on your mind?
Well, I live on an acreage just south of Fertile, and my question is, you were talking about chronic wasting disease, and there was a large farmer that had quite a huge deer herd just south of me in Sarasota County that he was selling his deer, and I know he had chronic wasting disease on the farm, and I'm just wondering, all of a sudden, all the deer disappeared. Mm-hmm. And there was several hundred deer on this farm. And I'm just kind of wondering if anybody can tell me what happened to all these deer.
Hmm. Okay, very specific case. Willie Suki or Jeff, do you know about, what does this sound like to you?
Well, he's right. They were, the situation was with the Department of Ag, and they worked with the land owner, the producer, and they agreed on a depopulation, and that occurred this fall.
Mm-hmm. Can you still eat an animal that has chronic wasting disease?
The CDC recommends that if an animal would test positive that you wouldn't eat it. They also say that there's no direct link that they can say between areas with CWD and prevalence of CWD and what would be the human equivalent Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease. But being precautionary would be smart.
Okay, thank you. Jim from Fertile, Iowa, thank you for calling. Let's get in another caller before our break. Bill in Sac City. Hi, Bill.
Oh, hi, and thank you for taking my call.
Sure thing.
And I would just like to mention about the TIP program, which is an acronym for Turn-In Poachers. This is a fund that hunters can donate money when they purchase their licenses to the program that goes into a fund that financially rewards some of those who turn in game lawbreakers. And very few county recorders or private businesses that are locations to purchase licenses ever mention this. And I doubt many hunters are even aware that they can donate to this program as well. And I would just appreciate your guest comments on the TIP program and also what could be done to increase the money that goes into it as well.
Okay, Bill, good point. It sounds like from Sac City. Is that your territory, Jeff?
Well, I can touch on it. Yeah, what he said was correct. If when folks buy their license, they can make a voluntary $2 donation to TIP. And what he talked about, you turn in poachers. Folks, if they see something going on, we rely on them out in the field. We rely on the honest sportsmen and women of Iowa. If they see something going on out there in the field, to pick up that phone and give us a call. There's only about 85 game wardens in the state and 99 counties. Yeah.
See something going on. What would one see? What would be a tip off? For poaching.
If they see somebody maybe shooting a gun out of a car window at a deer, chasing a deer with a truck across the field, trespassing on somebody's field,
mm-hmm.
Cutting the head off of a deer.
Why would cutting off a head be a problem?
Well, a lot of times if they've a deer on the side of the road and they're cutting the head off of it, they've killed. That's a huge tip off that maybe something's not right, because typically folks don't cut the head off of a deer on the out in the field or on the side of a road. They, mm-hmm. They'll take that animal home with them and butcher it at home. And if they see somebody that's just cutting the head off of a deer, quite possibly maybe somebody shot that deer out of a car window want to take their trophy home.
Okay, we've got to go on to a break. But Tim Powers, very quickly, have you found a poacher? Have you come across a poacher in your time of hunting?
I've made phone calls on poaching, yes.
Okay, so we want law-abiding hunters are really something that they want to curtail poaching for sure. And we were talking about poaching, other deer issues as this deer hunting season winds up in the next few days. Join our conversation, 1-866-780-9100. Jeff Swearingen of the DNR with us, along with Willie Suki. Tim Powers, a hunter, you'd like to join our conversation. Hunters, non-hunters, welcome in this discussion, 1-866-780-9100. When we come back, we'll also talk with a hunter who's been hunting since the age of 4. He uses a bow and makes handmade arrows. It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Back in just a minute. Very nice to have you with us on this edition of River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer, talking about deer hunting today. A few more days left of the second shotgun season for deer hunting in the state. Jeff Swearingen is with us, supervisor for DNR law enforcement officers in South Central Iowa, along with Willie Suki, wildlife research supervisor at Iowa's DNR in our Des Moines studio. Also, hunter Tim Powers with us, Whitetails Unlimited area field director for Eastern Iowa, hunter of almost 40 years. Join our discussion, 1-866-780-9100, taking questions and concerns from hunters and non-hunters alike. Let's go right to the phones. Ben is with us in Cedar Falls. Hi, Ben.
Hi there.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm a hunter and an Iowan, and I've got a question about deer diet.
Go ahead.
Just wondering what proportion of it would be crops versus wild plants. Makes me think what would support more deer on public land, not being a landowner, whether it would be conventional crops or turning a lot of these fields into prairie or woodland.
Willie, is that a question for you?
Yeah, that's a great question. Deer are very adaptable, and so whatever's out there, they will tend to find the most palatable, nutritious plants, which vary seasonably, and they'll take advantage of them. In Iowa, where we have crops are a significant part of their diet, probably 9 months out of the year. Some of the studies were done, 60% of their total diet might have been either crop residue or leaves. But in natural situations or settings where there's, you know, natural vegetation, the deer, there's alternatives out there. And
do they prefer one over the other, crops or native vegetation?
They're really adaptable is what I still can, you know, say is that if the beans are nice and tender, they'll prefer them. If the, you know, the wild forbs are growing at that time of the year, you'll maybe not notice it as much, but the prairie forbs are being nipped by deer just as much.
Okay. Thanks for the great question from Cedar Falls. Ben, 1-866-780-9100. Also joining us now as we talk about deer hunting, the owner of Safariland Taxidermy in Elkader, Iowa. He's been a hunter for more than 30 years. Also a bow hunter. And Dan Beck, are you there?
Yes, sir.
I understand you've been hunting since the age of four. Do you remember that first excursion?
Oh, sure. I shot a rabbit with my little longbow. And I started shooting the bow when I was four in 1968, and quite a thrill for me to do that. So it's been quite an adventure so far.
Now I understand you're a bow hunter, and you make your own arrows?
I do, yeah. I shoot the straight-end longbow. I have practically all my life. I've always shot wood arrows. The last few years, I started making my own arrows out of walnut, and the last couple of years now, I've started making my own broadheads as well.
Mm-hmm. I understand you've also hunted outside of Iowa, outside of the country, in fact.
Yeah, actually, I've hunted the barren ground caribou in Alaska. I've hunted the Quebec Labrador caribou in Quebec. I've hunted in Ontario for black bear. I've hunted the western states for elk, mule deer, and bear. Hunted bear in Minnesota. I've hunted, actually, a few years ago, I was fortunate to go to South Africa and hunt plains game there.
Mm-hmm. So how does the white-tailed deer here in Iowa match up to the other game that you've hunted around the world?
Well, I've always felt if you can take white-tailed deer, mature white-tailed deer, you can hunt any other game species there is in North America, in my opinion.
What makes them so challenging?
They're just that crafty. there's nothing more.
It's a smart animal.
Yeah, they're extremely smart animal. You take an old white-tailed doe, and she at times could be more difficult to get than a white-tailed buck.
Mm-hmm. Well, in terms of detecting your presence, they're just good at picking up people and hunters?
Yeah, you don't fool their nose. You can fool their eyes. You can sometimes fool them with movement and hearing, but very seldom can you fool a white-tailed deer by their nose. So that's one of the critical points of that.
In an average year, Dan, so how many deer do you shoot with your bow?
Well, I own 20 acres. My wife and I own 20 acres, so I can have a landowner statewide buck doe tag, and I can get a statewide tag over the counter, and then a doe tag. I usually get a doe tag. Do I fill all three? No, I don't do that. I shot one deer this fall on our own property, and so that works for me.
Mm-hmm. What about the problem of poaching in Iowa? Do you feel it's getting worse?
I don't think so, but that's just my opinion. It's always been bad, you know. Iowa's fortunate to have good whitetail bucks, as long as there's big whitetail bucks, there's going to be poaching.
As a taxidermist in Elkader, though, do you come across people bringing in game? They want to have mounted, stuffed or mounted, and you can see that perhaps it's been poached?
That's kind of a tough question to answer. Let me put it this way. I will find white-tailed deer, white-tailed bucks, with lead fragments and such in the neck and the head of them, where people have tried to poach them. That's not an uncommon thing. Buckshot, 22 slugs, and this and that. But I've had whitetail in that people have tried to poach.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask this, as perhaps on the behalf of non-hunters out there. I wonder if you run into a lot of misperceptions. For instance, how much, let me say, compassion do you have for the animals that you're hunting? Do you, Tim Powers, let me ask you first, do you have it in your mind to minimize the suffering of the animal you're hunting?
Oh, for sure. Any and every proper hunter, I believe, wants a clean kill. And I'm like you said, I might have 2-3 tags, but there's a lot of deer that go walking by me. I don't just shoot anything just to shoot it. I enjoy sitting out there probably just as much as anybody else. I don't have to get a deer.
Hmm. Okay. So in that sense, it's like fishing.
Definitely. Just being out and about.
Yeah. But it does happen, does it not, that you can take a shot at an animal, be it with a bow or a gun, and that animal, it will not be a straightaway a kill, and that animal may get away, may survive, may not. You don't know, right?
Oh, that's a fact. Yep. For sure.
Mm-hmm. Dan Beck, does that happen to you?
Oh, yes. If you're out there hunting, bow hunting, gun hunting, those things are going to happen. There's just no two ways around it. A white-tailed deer is a very quick animal, and they will, what's called, jump the string. If they hear that bow go off, oftentimes they will drop, and you can make a poor hit, and that does happen. And as far as the actual killing of the animal, it's not something you should not take pride in. There's been times when I've had to finish off a deer with a second arrow. I've shot that animal, I've walked up to it and shot it, and I will walk away from that animal and let him die under his without me being there. I don't want to see the actual the death part of that whole experience, because that's not the glamorous part about the hunt. You know, there's always a sense of sadness for me initially when I've taken the life of an animal, because it was a living, breathing critter and he's no longer alive. So the actual killing part is not, in my opinion, a beautiful thing to witness.
Tim Powers, is that something you do as well? Would you walk away from a dying animal?
Yeah, I mean, like you said, if he's already shot it once and he comes upon it and it's still alive, and if it's bow season, you can put another arrow in it and come back an hour or two later. That's protocol, I think, for most all hunters.
Mm-hmm. Jeff or Willie, what is protocol for trying to minimize, guidelines for trying to minimize suffering of the hunted animal?
Well, you want to take as good a shot as you can. And like the gentleman has both said, sometimes you make that bad shot, but you want to make as good a shot as you can. You know, know your equipment, know what you can do, know your capabilities. You know, if you're comfortable shooting 20 yards with your bow, don't try to shoot 40 yards. You know, have respect for that animal. And I think most part for the hunters have a great deal of respect for the animals that they're pursuing. I know that I do, just as these gentlemen have spoken today. You know, it's a magnificent animal, and it's you know, there is a sense of sadness when you harvest that animal, and I have a great deal of respect for white-tailed deer. It's just,
mm-hmm. Would you say, Dan or Tim, would you say that hunters have an appreciation for deer that non-hunters may not have? Dan? Because you know this white-tail so well.
Yeah. You know, I grew up hunting they're a beautiful animal. There's no doubt about it.
Which people will say, you know, you can laud this animal, but you kill it. So I'm just trying to advocate or get a question here from non-hunters here. Beautiful animal, smart animal, but you feel moved to kill it. Tim Powers.
Well, hunters compared to non-hunters, I think there's both sides, the appreciation of deer or just wildlife in general. We both have that interest and that knack for the wildlife. As you know, I'm a hunter, not hunters, and I've had my conversations with some of them. They just don't see the side we see of sitting out there in the tree stand and hunting for a deer. And like we both said, it's not, hey, we killed that animal. That's not what it is. It's the enjoyment of being out there and, quite honestly, outwitting them. And as we all know, if we didn't have our hunters, can you imagine what the population would be doing in the state of Iowa?
Well, let's put that to either Jeff or Willie. What if no, let's just hypothetical, it's not going to happen, but what if no deer hunting were allowed?
Well, that's a good point Tim brings up, is that hunting is the only effective management tool for white-tailed deer, and you know, trying to get the right number of deer on the landscape is a question of balance, and what some people would like to see are no deer, and some people would like to see a lot of deer. If we didn't have hunting where we have refuges, you'll see deer populations that double every 3 to 4 years. And at some point, you'll get where they're biologically, they'll have lower reproductive rates. But at that point in time, you're having a tremendous effect if it's a natural area, natural vegetation. And if it was a place where there's people and you have landscaping or traffic, you're just going to have so many conflicts that you turn a wildlife species from a very positive animal, a very positive experience to that, where they now are a nuisance and a pest, and the overpopulation, overabundance thing is not a good situation to be in.
Willie Suki is with us, as well as Jeff Swearingen of the Iowa DNR, talking about deer hunting during the last few days of this particular deer hunting season. Let's have you talk about the population, not of deer. We've sort of painted that picture, but what about hunters? Jeff and Willie, what can you say about our hunters, the demographics? Who are these people, male, female, young, old? What trends are you seeing there?
Well, typically our hunting population is getting older, but we're having a lot of women that are coming into the sport, and we're starting to pick up what I see in the hunter safety classes is that we've missed a class of kids, and they're picking those kids back up when they get to be 25, 26, 28 years old. They want to get into the sport. They're seeing some of their friends that do it, and they want to get into it. So we're starting to pick those folks back up that we missed when they were youngsters and maybe doing other things. And so we're seeing that trend as well. And bow hunting is our one group we're picking up a lot of bow hunters.
Tim Powers, what do you have to say about passing hunting on to the next generation? You've seen it for almost four decades.
Yeah, and as the numbers have shown, they've been shrinking. And as I can say to any and everybody and our members out there when they attend our events throughout the state, is take a kid hunting. Take a kid in the outdoors, whether it's hunting, fishing, just get him in the outdoors. My little guy here, he's 8 now, and the last thing he really wants to do for the most part is sit in front of a computer or TV. Now, that's not the norm, but he's outdoors with me whenever he can be.
Dan Beck, you were hunting since the age of 4 years old. Do you take it upon yourself to make sure it's passed on through future generations?
Absolutely. I've got grandkids that I took out hunting this year, and I'm a ground hunter, so I had Dominic and Skyler were both in the ground blind with me there, and we just enjoyed a time of sitting and watching deer and the other wildlife. So I think it's important to pass that experience on to the next generation, because you can learn from computers and you can learn from books, but there's things that take place in the woods that you can only learn when you're out there.
Here's an email as we come close to the end of the hour I'd like to share with you. Dan and Tim, perhaps react to this. An email sent in by a listener and an avid hunter who would like to remain anonymous. I'll just read it. My deer hunting is more from a venison in the freezer perspective, and except for people that know me well, I don't advertise that I hunt or even that I own a shotgun. There is such a negative undertone toward hunters, and in parentheses, rightly so in many cases, that I'd rather not have my name associated. The NRA has effectively driven those of us that are moderate underground. It's just embarrassing, the stance taken by a minority of hardcore gun owners. What do you make of that, Tim Powers?
Well, that's pretty a bold statement, I guess. Yeah, there's no question about it. In the hunting industry, no different than your standard bow hunters compared to the crossbow hunters. Now we got crossbow hunting in the state of Iowa, and no different between shotgun hunters to bow hunters.
All kinds of subsets among deer hunters, and all kinds of politics.
There is a lot of politics to it. One wouldn't really believe that, but there is, and. Like I say to any and everybody, if you're a true believer in the outdoors, and gun hunter, non-gun hunter, these people that if you're hunting with a bow and you don't like to hunt with a gun, that's fine, but do not step on feet of each other. Work together, and that, I would agree. There is some negativity on the
on the gun issue, but a lot of that finger pointing is our good old news. TVs, radios, everything out there, putting the finger out there. Somebody has an assault rifle, walks into school, you know, completely chaos to hear something like that. And they just keep bringing it up and bringing it up. Mm-hmm. Sad cases. I mean, it should not happen.
Tim Powers, do you sense any of that negativity mentioned in the email?
Well, you know, obviously this person doesn't want to let them know that he has a gun in his house. Any and everybody that shows up at my house, they know I have guns. I mean, it is what it is. But it's the proper education. No different from my little boy. He's 8 years old. He knows for a fact not to touch or pick up a gun unless I'm around. Mm-hmm. It's all about educating.
Okay. Let's go to a caller, Lauren in Independence. Hi, Lauren.
How you doing?
I'm doing well. We're coming to the end of the hour. I'm going to ask you to make it brief, but what do you got on your mind?
I had a discussion with Willie a couple weeks ago about this. We have a problem here in Buchanan County where about 10 or so years ago, a person that was raising deer on their property, their deer got out, and they were white deer. And now, ever since then, they've been intermingling with the wild herd, and we get young white deer pretty much every year anymore. And I was just curious if we could talk about it for a minute and maybe get some more input from across the state, and if other people have run into the same problem, maybe they could get Willie's website and give him an email and let him know that this problem isn't just strictly here in Buchanan County.
Okay. Willie Suki, how do you see the problem described by Lauren in Buchanan County there in Independence?
Well, it's good to hear from Lauren again. And the discussion is that white deer are protected by Iowa law, and it's not a biological issue. It's a social issue that legislators will have to address if this is going to change. And so what I talked with Lauren about is if people are interested, they need to talk to their local contacts in the legislature, their representative, their senator, and see if there's interest in changing it, because there's a wide variety of opinion on whether they should or shouldn't be protected.
Okay, 1-866-780-9100. Let's go to Andy in Mount Pleasant. Have to make it quick, Andy, please.
Yeah, no problem. Hey, a couple of years ago, I was floating around YouTube, and I saw that you guys had done a show with the Drury Outdoors fellows down there from Missouri, I believe it was. I watched that series quite a few times myself, and every time I look at that series, I learn something every time. So, I mean, whether you're a hunter or whether you're against hunting, whatever, it's not one-sided at all. It's something for everybody. You can learn a lot from it. So if you got questions, you can always go there. And
okay. Andy in Mount Pleasant, thanks for that tip to end our hour. I want to finish off by asking our hunters and all those here if you have a favorite venison dish. How do you like to eat venison, Dan Beck?
Like to make it on the stovetop and sear it, and then put a little brown sugar on it, onion. Like I say, fry it in butter and brown sugar and onion and a little bit of barbecue sauce, and tastes good.
Mm. What about you, Tim Powers?
Slice it up, brown it in a pan, and throw it in a crock pot and let it sit for the day, and you got a tasty little something about 6 o'clock in the evening.
Okay. What about Jeff and Willie in our Des Moines studio? Any tips on preparing venison?
Well, I guess I'm kind of boring. I just like to take a good loin chop and grill it on the grill, so I don't get too fancy with it.
For someone who's never had it, how does it differ from throwing a steak on the grill?
You don't want to get it well done. If you get it well done, you get more of that, what people call maybe a liver taste, I guess, and you want it to have a little rare to it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, this has been an enjoyable hour. Thank you very much for joining us. Willie Suki, Wildlife Research Supervisor at the Iowa DNR. Jeff Swearingen, Supervisor for DNR Law Enforcement Officers in South Central Iowa. Jeff and Willie, tell us quickly, how can people find out more about deer hunting at the DNR's website?
Yeah, go to iowadnr.gov, and there's a whole lot of information there.
Okay, very good. Willie, Jeff, again, thanks for coming into the studio. Dan Beck, owner of Safariland Taxidermy in Elkader, thanks for sharing some of your experience having hunted for more than 30 years since the age of 4. Thanks, Dan.
Thank you.
Tim Powers, Whitetails Unlimited Area Field Director for Eastern Iowa. Thank you for sharing your experiences.
Certainly. Appreciate you having us on.
All right. River to River is produced by Emily Woodbury, Lindsay Moon, and Claire Roth in Des Moines. We had help from John Pemble today. Our executive producer is Catherine Perkins. It's a NewsBuzz edition tomorrow on our program. Hope you'll tune in for half a dozen conversations, short conversations about news we didn't get to otherwise during the week. That's tomorrow over the noon hour. River to River is a production of Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Thanks for joining us.